after I was leaving the club, I called her. She was like, I don't know. I've kind of melted. I don't really feel like going. And then we talked for a little bit. And she was like, listen, if you come or you don't come, it's the right decision. Blah, blah, blah. And she goes, yeah, yeah, I think I'm actually going to come. I got to go. And I go, that's great. You should. You got to get up and move. That's a great idea. And she goes, no, this is my idea. No, I'm going because I'm going.
Welcome back to another episode of Ramping Up with Fiona Colley
and Matt Taylor.
And this week we have had a very exciting guest. Give it up for Lee Kimbrell.
Yeah.
The second guest ever. I'm honored.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You guys are ramping up into like being a podcast with guests.
Yeah. I know.
That's exciting.
We got tired of talking to each other.
Probably a fully different energy.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
It is because we realized immediately we've already told each other everything.
Yeah.
Every time one of us tells a story, you can see the other one just slowly like fade away into like being like, all right.
Yeah, doing a podcast with your significant other. Pros and cons, but one of the cons is that you'd like to think that you guys know a lot about each other already.
Well, it's like there's nothing cool that happens that I don't call him and tell him about immediately.
There's no breaking news on the pod between you guys.
Can we talk about breaking news really quick?
Oh, yeah.
That was so funny with Cole.
Oh, my God. How amazing was that story?
Did you tell Anna?
Yeah, about Lydia, the... Lydia News from Channel 4 News.
Start from the top.
My fiance is pregnant. This is so exciting and awesome. We're having a little daughter. And my cousin came to the show. I did a show. When was that?
Sunday.
We did a show. Me and Fiona did a show on Sunday. And my cousin came and he was in the green room. And then a friend of ours who is... a significant other to another comedian who is a newscaster here in town.
Yeah, like beautiful, very well-known local man.
Channel 4, Lydia, Lydia Fielder.
Yeah, she's great.
Friend of the pod, great girl.
Fucking like green room hang, everyone loves her.
So my cousin Coleman, who also loves her, I go, this is my friend Lydia. And my cousin Colt shakes Lydia's hand and he goes, Lydia Fielder from Channel 4 News. Holy shit. Like, he's like really starstruck and we're sitting there talking and it's a great moment. And then Lydia goes something along the lines of like, so you ready to be a dad? How's Anna doing? How's she feeling? And I look at Cole and Cole's like, what? And I go, well, I was going to tell you later, but you're going to be an uncle, man. And Lydia like pretty much started crying. She was like devastated.
Like mortified. She had
but
spilled.
It just couldn't have worked out better.
Yeah. And I was like, I guess you really broke the news.
Yeah. It was so funny. It was Cole's birthday, May 4th. Shout out cousin Cole.
Dude, Cole rips. Cole.
Yeah. He's in his dirty 30s.
Dirty 30.
Baby. I love
but
Cole.
Yeah, breaking news. Lydia Fielder broke the news to Cole.
Kind of like
true news anchor.
That's how y'all should bring the news.
We have a lot of because of our how fun our lives are and what we do. There's so many fun ways that we could.
Mm. Yeah,
we could do it on stage at one of these big ass shows that we get to do.
Yeah,
we could do it. I don't know. It that's when it gets weird because it's like you don't want to like.
You don't want to commercialize
it and like spin it right, but then. I'm so fucking excited about it.
You want everyone
it is
to
really
fucking...
all I want to talk about.
Yeah, you and know? You want to rewatch.
What if you did it on a reel and you're like, God, I didn't get in the algorithm.
Yeah.
I gotta archive this and we gotta do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, that's like
it was too long, man.
Matt was trying to figure out how to propose to me. He was thinking about doing it on Kildonian.
And then I was just like, no. That's just a bad idea.
Because they could boo him.
Megan Boone doing a proposal. Would boo him. Because they're in love with you. And they... No, boo is like the best thing that could happen. 12 incels could charge the stage and try to kill him.
That's very true.
Yeah, they could try to kill him. Yeah. Could have been ugly.
They could have tried to kill you. That would have been funny.
Yeah, all right. Well,
well, it is weird because me and my lady do a good job of it, but it's like
hey,
half.
Brady, can you? Sorry.
No, you're good.
You tell us
what we need here.
No. Yeah, brisk. Oh, thanks.
My boy, good looking hot.
That was hot.
Brady, producer, cameraman, bartender.
Yeah.
Friend, he's confidant.
Mini hats, little hats, great restaurant, Nashville, Tennessee.
Tiny little hats.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was saying is like, yes, it's weird for me and Anna because I'm in the public eye or trying to be, right? But both of you guys are. It's weird to navigate, I'd imagine. Personal, keeping things hidden because certain things should be, but then also it's like the more of yourself that you put out there, the more people can like latch onto it and like it. And it's like, that does feel good. But like you said, when do you cheapen it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to feel like you're like, grandstanding it to like, or just putting it to put it on social media. You know,
you're right.
It's very odd. Feeling.
Well, think about how many people in our generation, if they really were truthful to themselves, would have to say, I got married for the Facebook post. Like a lot of people. Well,
photos.
It's more than, the photos to put on Facebook to get 250 likes when you normally get 20.
Yeah.
And everyone says you're great.
And you're just like always searching for that next exciting moment.
It's
where
brutal.
Like your day.
You're just like, hey, I noticed you didn't collab on those engagement photos. Wondering what's up with that.
For real. You could have shared it more. You really could have tried to like push
it. You forgot
it.
The freaking hashtag.
Yeah, for real. I mean, I would, more than half of marriages end in divorce now.
Mm.
And I think it's because of shit like that. Yeah. Because like for real, marriages have probably like started in a fight because the husband didn't share it on Facebook.
I can see that.
And the guy's just like, I'm 40. I don't, I haven't gotten on Facebook since college.
How do you even share?
And that disconnect is so wild to me,
like,
but you know what happens.
I'm on MySpace.
You're in my top eight, babe. It's my three boys and you're four. You're the first girl, which is like one.
Nate has a good joke about like how his wife gets mad that she doesn't like her photos. I think it was Nate.
And he's like, I am
like you in real life.
Every
day.
That.
I'm
in the photo.
I was with you when you
took
the photo.
Yeah, it's awesome, man.
It's wild. Babe.
Yeah, I think that is real. And I think because we do what we do, the whole like getting married for attention isn't really a thing.
Yeah.
Because we do everything.
We
else.
Live for attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, that's like a side quest.
It's the only real things about us.
It's a week off.
That's so true. It's like, not that like we're this super weird, disingenuous version of ourselves, but it's like when the goal is to kind of give yourself to the public and get them to latch on and like you and pay to see you,
mm-hmm.
you do kind of give yourself up. Getting married and moving in and starting
I'll go one step further, and this might piss some people off. Having a baby, I feel like some people have a baby because they're so fucking bored.
Yeah.
Oh man.
For sure.
An insta baby.
My parents.
An insta. Yeah, yeah. Plenty of people do. Or the classic trope of having a baby to save a marriage or whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
And experiencing
save
it.
Save a horse, have a baby.
Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah, dude. If you try to save your marriage by buying a horse, you live in Kentucky. That's all it is, man.
Yeah, that's an expensive horse.
It is wild with this, me and her going through this right now with the baby. It's like I can't even fathom how you do it if you're not fully locked in with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mom and dad got pregnant at a party. You know, they barely knew each other.
Hell of a fucking goodie bag, you know.
Yeah,
man?
You're not lying, dude. Yeah, that take-home bag was solid.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, it was you.
Yeah, it was me.
It was me. Oh, I just can't imagine.
Of course you were fucking, what's the word?
Conceived.
Conceived at a party.
Hell yeah.
This makes sense.
Straight up. Yeah. St. Patrick's Day.
I think I was conceived in a gas station bathroom, if I'm being 100%.
I was conceived in the throes of drunken passion.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's America. Which is God bless. Got us
here in our current situation.
Wait. Before we, because we'll never stop.
Hold on. I think it is important, you know, to have a strong relationship before you have a child together. And it's important to have a strong partner.
Amen.
You know where I'm going?
He's leading into
I'm with you.
You want to be strong.
You want to make sure your partner is very strong.
How do you
really
do that?
Strong.
The only way to know if your partner
There's
is strong.
There's one way.
You have to test
their grip strength.
That's right.
Yep. This is something we're doing on the pod.
Are you sponsored by a grip strength company?
No. Eventually. So,
and
big grip.
We're pinning all of our guests
one thing
against
we like to
each
do here
other
on the pod is test
we'll
every guest.
Oh, dude, what?
We'll tell you what Derek Stroop's was after we figure out what yours was.
He's real big. So you guys are doing a fucking masculinity test live. This is what you're doing
I
to your two
too
guests.
No, we do it with the
and then we're
guests
making Anna do it because the women shock. Yeah.
How about this? If Fiona beats me, I'll kill myself on this podcast.
Ooh, that's gonna do numbers. Hey, look at me. I'm going to need you to grip that thing harder than you.
Grip it, sister.
All right. So try it. What's your dominant hand?
Right.
Try it with dominant hand first. I have a theory.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can get more.
And it's just like one, like you do it as hard as you can.
Yeah,
and just
like
rip it.
Your arms are jagged. You're doing it so hard. First pull, though, so
think about that. Yeah. Give it everything you got.
Give it that dad strength.
Come on.
Oh shit.
Oh. Brothers got them Kentucky paws on them.
What do we do?
Damn.
156.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you see that? That's the father
now
of your baby.
Damn.
New record.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yo, that baby is
good. Wait, that's the highest one we've ever had. Man.
I live another day.
Man, her let's first go date's about to have a problem. All right, now I have a theory. We'll see. So left. Non-dominant, stand up. I always think your opposing hand
that
is stronger.
That was so insane. The forehead pain. Look.
No. Not as much. No. The right hand.
Dude's got a grip on him.
Yeah. The right hand.
What was
that?
56?
Derek,
new record.
Derek on. Was 109.
Let's go. You hear that, Stroop? Yeah, that's awesome.
Dude, Brady good to know was like 150, and that was our record holder.
Anna, you want to give it a go?
I want
I'm Anna super curious. I do want to know, because she is very strong. Yeah, come on, babe.
It hurts.
55.
Nice. 55, come on. She broke 50.
Right there.
She broke 50.
God,
you've never been stronger.
My highest is 50.
Let's go. Come on now.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know what?
What a
the right hand. I feel it a lot in my life. The best training that my right arm ever got was carrying trays.
Trays, serving.
Like, I remember building that muscle when I was doing it and thinking to myself, either I'm not going to be able to use my wrist in a decade or this is going to pay off. Just like 15 margaritas. You know, just like having to keep it so stabilized. It's CrossFit. Yeah. Yeah. So shout
that's
out to
sick
Chewies.
That's a sleeper cell right there.
Let's go. $156. I don't even got to talk the rest of this shit, man.
No, you're good on that.
I
think this transitions perfectly into the next question.
Yeah. What we got?
Yeah.
What is the buffest celeb you think you could take?
Like,
that's fun.
You're allowed to like non-dots like them, but the buffest. Yeah, like, it could be someone you're a fan of, but you think you could beat up.
I'll say mine. just to give context.
Okay.
Mine was Vin Diesel.
Okay, that's a great answer, because when you're talking about these buff Hollywood guys, we're not really talking about tough guys. We're right. talking about guys.
But you also don't know their background.
We don't know their background, but guess what? We kind of do.
Yeah.
They're fucking all nerds, dude.
They're all theater kids.
They're all kind of theater nerds on steroids, right?
Little girl in a wheelchair in Wicked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. You would stomp the shit out of her.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Her green sister ain't going to do shit. You're beating her ass and going, Yeah, dude. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Buffest celeb.
I like Vin Diesel. Can I just gauge, before I give mine, can I question yours a second? Why Vin Diesel? You think he's soft?
Because I saw a video of him drunk dancing to a Beyonce song, and I was like, that's a little feminine, I think.
That boy's soft.
I might.
He got a little sugar in
his
tank.
Like, he seems like he's big, but he seems just like that's all, like, all he is.
You know what, Vin Diesel?
He's probably going to beat the shit out of me for saying this if it ever gets
dude, if this
to
gets
it.
To but, Vin Diesel, bring it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what
is... it's a hate crime if I win.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, you lose either way. Vin Diesel, there's never been more of, like, a stage name than that. Do you know his real name? I do. It's Mark Sinclair.
Oh,
he's a fucking Canadian guy named Mark Sinclair.
He's Canadian?
Dude, you would wipe the floor with Vin Diesel, dude.
Yeah.
You'd beat his ass.
I stand by that. I could feel it.
And it's like bald-on-bald crime. It's like Vin Diesel. It's another brutal thing. When you Google the most famous bald guys, it's Vin Diesel and The Rock.
The Rock, I could not tell. He's just,
yeah.
He's
no,
just
The Rock, nah. Wrestling. I think I could beat up The Rock one-on-one if I had a gun.
Yeah.
No, maybe even like a, I don't know, like a bat, like a Louisville
you think
slugger.
You could beat up Kevin Hart.
Catches the
Kevin Hart.
He's real strong.
He's real strong and real little.
He just take boxing class.
Like low to the ground.
You can move quick.
I think I could beat up like a ripped guy. I don't know. All the news coming out about this guy. I just kind of want to beat up Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put me in the ring with him.
That's tough. He's had a lot of training as Deadpool.
He's shredded up. I know he's got some abs, but I tell you what, man, if you really got abs like that, you're probably not about it, man.
Yeah.
That's
you get
true.
Abs like that by eating
those
like cauliflower.
Are Instagram abs.
You know?
Yeah, nah. You're fasting a little too much.
It breaks my heart about all this news coming out that he's a real scumbag. Yeah. Because I've loved him since Blade 3.
Dude, mean.
He was so good in Blade Trinity, man. Just really his most underrated role. Am I right?
He was good.
So good in it. He's an incredible, like, comedic action star.
Was he Deadpool in Blade 3?
No, he was just like a guy. He was like, yeah, I'm a vampire hunter. I had a bad relationship with my dad.
My dad.
And Van Helsing and Wilder.
Yeah.
That's the call.
Van Helsing. Sorry, babe. Van Helsing. First movie that I ever made out in.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, fun question.
I want to suck your face.
Hey, what was his name?
Oh, good one. All right,
cook.
Lady.
Cook.
All right.
Cook from the Got corner. Let her the
cook,
camera.
Dude. Not an off-mic cooking. Not an off-mic cooking.
Yeah, this isn't what I meant by cooking when I asked you to marry me.
Oh, my God. I'm a little starstruck.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, this buddy. I was sitting on him. Today. He's a horny little guy. He's on my butt.
Yeah.
Aw, he's so
eating a little ass.
God, he's just... horrific looking.
Yeah, it's the teeth. You stick your finger
the
in
human
it.
Teeth are wrong. Dude, the human teeth are wrong.
Not only his teeth are better than mine.
Your teeth don't. He's got a gap between every tooth.
Well, I mean, like, the teeth themselves, I think, are better.
Oh, that's a healthy tooth.
Strong teeth.
Would you rather have three eyes or one eye?
Three.
Ooh, three.
Yeah, do you think
more
you see
better?
Do you think it's like having three cameras instead of two?
Yeah, it's like the iPhone 15 to the iPhone
12. Yeah, you
see
more. You probably got like some peripheral view.
Yeah, you got like a better zoom.
I like putting my hands in his mouth.
Yeah. I put my dick in it a few
times. Fuck you.
Yeah, you ever pop this fucker in the microwave? Get a real toothy blowjob from a alien? Sorry, man. Buddy. There you go.
I relate to everything that's happening right now.
Oh,
got a dog in your lap.
Yeah, it's the government.
She got that dog, dog on her. Ryan Reynolds is my answer to that.
That's all right. Buffest dude you could take is Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
So that's a strong answer.
I feel like I'm really slouching and I don't have to back.
Push me up, push me up, push me up.
You want to scooch back a little?
That's a fun thing that a pregnant lady says.
And disabled ladies.
Dude, I'm telling you, we really do the bingo lot. Card for you guys is like all the same pieces.
Yeah.
Always tired. Can't really adjust yourself on a couch.
We have to pee a lot.
Pee all the time, and yeah. It's a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Lack of motivation.
Oh, no, I got one.
Judge me.
No. Yeah, that's what you are, is unmotivated.
It's funny because it's true. I fall into things.
I can relate to that.
Do we look like weird, like... We saw your crowns of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are giving off
We've
poly
never
colors.
Sat this close to each other on this podcast, and I love you, but it feels weird.
I was just trying to help your back, dude. No, fuck off.
It did. Oh, man. It was.
Matt, so do you bad. Love how she smells so better? Much?
I do. She smells great.
Isn't that crazy, she's the weird smell part of it? I just huff her, dude.
You got mad at me because I hadn't showered in 4 days and you made me shower today.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I mean, come on.
I mean, what are we talking about? Did you say that and think that we were going to be like, Matt's an asshole?
Yes.
She goes, what? I goes, 4 days. Get in there.
Oh, my hair is still.
Get in there. What's your best coach's voice?
Oh, best coach's voice. I never liked a coach who went too over the top. You yeah. don't like a coach being a softy to you. Mm. You like a coach because you're generally getting coached as a kid, right? My yeah. best coach's voice would be talking to a kid like he's a grown up. My best coach's voice would just be this right here, man. I'm not going to talk shit. I'm not pulling punches. What do you want? You want to get out there? You put in the work, man. You put in the work. You're going to go out there.
We need to pull your weight.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Fuck it up now?
Second grade dance. I don't remember sports.
We've been doing two-a-days since May, man. We've been doing two-a-days since May. Now's the time. I trust you. I think you're going to do it. Get out there.
Solid.
Get out there, kid.
I really feel like I'm going to coach one day. Do it. I'm not sure what sport this is, but I'm going to do it.
That's almost like good, like assistant coach voice, too. You know, when the coach just reamed the shit out of you. And the assistant coach, he's like, yeah, come on over here.
I think I'm an assistant coach.
Like, it's good. But if a coach had that demeanor, I think they'd go all the way to state.
Head coach, there's too much responsibility that's not just like level. Assistant coach, there's a little less responsibility, which
you're
means that
cool
you can.
Coach.
Exactly.
Like, man, don't
and then when you put it on them, then they know that it's time to go. I can't wait to coach, man. We're having a little girl. She's going to play football. I'm kidding.
She's going to play rugby, football, like all these various
MMA. Yeah. We're going to get her into boxing when she's 5.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
Oh, solid.
No, she'll be a little sweet lady.
You're going to get her to take Ryan Reynolds just in case you can't.
Nah, man. She's going to take Ryan Reynolds down, dude.
She's going to take Blake Lively.
Both of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Blake Lively.
You take one thing away from this
Blake
podcast, we're burning those fuckers. Team Baldini.
This feels like such a
Team Baldini.
What?
Another one?
Sean Baldini.
All right, I got one. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your best?
Yeah, steal.
The greatest thing I've ever heisted.
Besides Anna's
and
his
virginity.
Oh, okay. Well, we are. One's a clean comic. Yeah. One's a dirty comic.
Yes, her womb. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No doubt.
Besides Anna's heart. Yeah. Virginity.
Yeah, I stole her womb. yeah, dude. The greatest thing I've ever heisted. Kentucky won the national championship in 2012.
Oh.
And we went down to Woodland Avenue to, you know, like, celebrate, give a million high fives, do chants and all that stuff. It was fun. And I walked into a Speedway that was pretty overrun with fans and put a 12-pack of glass Bud Light bottles all on my person and then just walked out very stiff-legged.
Golly, one trip and fall, that's, and you may never walk again.
Well, the story wasn't over. I did trip. Sorry. I know. I was sprinting away and fell and did that and just cut myself to ribbons, but soaked it in beer, alcohol, disinfectant. We're good.
Yeah, but you catch like a, what's the...
I could have really killed. Right, I could have died.
You could have bled out. Yeah, yeah.
Bled if out I hit a curb stall and just femoral arteried, yeah, with a Bud Light bottle, God, like I'm in Roadhouse.
Feeling 30 beer seconds.
I have to tourniquet myself on the street.
Dude, when I was in fucking, I was like a freshman in high school, there was a one sketchy gas station near my house, and I was the only one that had a fake ID.
Hell yeah.
And so I had to like get all the beer for the party, and I was disabled but didn't know it, so I couldn't like carry 24 packs. I went to the beer cooler in the back of the gas station. I put a 24 pack on the ground and then grabbed a 12 pack and I kicked the 24 pack across the gas because I couldn't move it. But like my fake ID was someone else's real ID and we looked absolutely nothing alike, and the guy knew it and he was just this creepy older dude.
He just wanted to get on your good side.
His only thing, the only way he would let me buy the beer was if I held his hand for like 10 seconds, and then he would let me buy it every time I went in.
Creepy, yes. Is that a fair trade?
100%. Hey, he could have. It could have been way worse. You could have been holding something else.
Yeah,
that's for, I think he was holding something keystones else, and then I was holding his hand. Yeah. I think that's
no doubt. Yeah, no. You held his hand for 10 seconds, and then later he held something else.
Yeah.
Hey man, ice. It works. I made fake IDs for my high school.
Oh, that's sick.
Damn.
Microsoft nice. Paint.
You're so Breaking Bad, dude.
I was so Breaking Bad, dude. Mm. Also, fuck the Instagram Live. They told me I looked like Hank from Breaking Bad.
Wait, what?
At the time that show was on, he was in his early 50s, man. What are we doing? No, I don't look like Hank. Fuck off. Maybe I do. No, sucks.
I don't look
Hank
like
didn't even
Walter
have a mustache.
Jr.
He was like, you got a big old bald fat head. Hank didn't have this facial hair. He never wore these glasses. That he said that to hurt me.
He was just looking to hurt me. That's about it. Some people are just looking for blood.
I was a big time shoplifter at Kroger. And then they got way too
serious,
futuristic and shit with like the cameras and stuff. Like, I don't fuck with it anymore.
My favorite, I just got reminded of this. My favorite thing to do, I guess it was stealing technically, is if you got a case of beer, you could turn, like at self-checkout, you could like turn the beer can in the case to where like the barcode on the can would show.
And you beep one can?
No, a six-pack is what it would ring up.
Bang.
Every single, you'd get a case for a six-pack price.
That's stealing, and that's great.
I mean, they obviously could, because they had to come over there.
But
and
it could seem
ID
like an accident.
But half the time, they wouldn't even check what you were.
And you could have pleaded ignorance. You could have been like,
I must have scanned the wrong thing.
I beeped it.
Yeah. My buddy got like kicked out of Kroger like permanently for doing that, because they were like, we're not buying that.
Yeah.
He said that excuse. He was like, oh, yeah, I didn't mean to scan it. I didn't mean to scan the front of the case instead of like the back. He was like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, man. You got sensitive machines.
Yeah.
So wow.
That was a fun little hack.
Never pay for organic produce, because you got to do the item lookup anyway.
Oh yeah.
Get the non-organic, save yourself $1.50. If the guy with the 65 IQ who's worked there for 15 years can figure it out, then good job, Sherlock.
Yeah.
But guess what? He's not going to.
And that's employee of the month,
nah, dude.
Right,
don't
there
pay for organic, dude.
That's smart. Yeah.
I don't eat vegetables.
Well, that's what got us into this fucking problem.
Vegetables, don't eat vegetables.
That's how far I go now.
You gotta eat your broccoli, kids.
Listen to your parents and eat your broccoli. That's what I saw your baby.
Yeah, dude.
I didn't listen to my mom once.
Dude, you could get a company to give you $20 million to say that. They got to bring back God Milk. the Fiona Collie, yeah, like ad program. You just fully sell your soul to the devil.
Just with a milk mustache.
Be like, if only I had smoked more cigarettes. Fiona Collie for Marlboro.
Oh, I'd do it. I'd do it right now.
I'd smoke a cigarette.
I'd do it
right now.
Free.
The Got Milk run was pretty crazy, though.
Yeah, and the milk's not good for you.
Dude, that's why they, you know why they can't do Got Milk anymore? You know, remember when it was every celebrity ever? It was like Wheaties box.
Yeah.
It was like a Wheaties box level. It was like a milestone in your career if you could get the milk mustache. They legally can't do it because milk is straight up not good for you.
Why did it take us so long? Okay, wait. I do want to check in with our nurse right here. That's true, right? Milk's not good for you, or it just doesn't have anything that is good necessarily.
It's calcium.
Well,
I
heard that milk, just like anything that you supplement, right? If you take in a bunch of anything, it kind of tells your body to stop doing that thing. So if you're drinking a half a gallon of milk a day, your body's like, oh, we can chill on making calcium. And it actually ends up making your bones deficient.
I very seriously just thought we stopped pushing milk because milk is a drink of perverts.
That's a great take. Honestly, yeah, it is the horniest drink.
Yo, if I'm ever on a date and some dude gets milk, you're done. You're out of here.
You get a filet mignon with au gratin potatoes, and you're just like, pint glass of milk.
Literally.
Yeah.
Could
put him in jail. Put him in prison.
No, thank you.
So the Got Milk campaign was just a meme, apparently.
What?
It started as a movement in California because there was a decline in consumption, so they were trying to get Californians to drink milk again.
Big cow.
Especially younger people to drink milk again. And then it, like, spread to, like, celebrities and shit. Just
pop culture.
Like, yeah, we gotta drink milk. There was literally no reason behind it.
It seems like that.
It's
not connected.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Same deal with bacon.
But this thing.
What?
Yeah.
Bacon for breakfast. It's so insane to be like, let's eat fried pork for breakfast.
Yeah, what
but they did it.
Who would do that? That's
so dumb.
No, I eat it. I love
who
bacon.
Who would do that 3 times a week?
Who would do that?
Brother, you're preaching to the choir. Bacon to me is health food.
Yeah,
but
it's keto.
But yeah, for real. But it was like just like some weird campaign because they were like, this bacon shit that we can make, it's like cheap. You know, everybody wanted the pork chops, everybody wanted the pork butt, everybody wanted the good cuts, and they were like, we can take this bacon, let's turn it into a, what, we'll call it breakfast, the most important meal of the day. And, I mean, yeah, breakfast was like the same shit as, like, Valentine's Day. Pretty much just corporately made to make money. I'm not trying to be some, like, clear pill cool guy. I eat bacon all the fucking time. But that is where it came from, you know.
Also, same the anti-fat that led to people over-consuming sugar, and then now everyone's anti-sugar, and so they consume Diet Coke.
Well, yeah, the sugar lobby, like the big companies, the Wrigley's and all the candy makers and everything, straight up paid off the FDA,
yeah,
and they were like, "Hey, say sugar's good."
Yeah.
And they knew it was just the worst thing that's ever happened.
Golly.
Yeah. And that's where we live right now. And it's fun to kind of be in the world where it's like, we did kind of get straight up oddly poisoned for a while.
Well,
and now they're trying to clean it up.
What I'm hearing is like, everything is bad for you, but we decide what we think is good. Like 3 years by 3 years at a time based on marketing.
So true. It's basically what it is.
That is sting.
What can be good for you?
Vaping.
Yeah, we're going to find out too.
Hey, can we all agree?
Hey, by the way, we kicked that shit, dude.
Vaping actually expands your capillaries, giving you stronger breathing.
I do miss.
Wait, Anna, I have a pregnant cigarettes. Lady question. Okay. Do you miss drinking or vaping more?
Probably vaping.
Really?
Damn it, that's what it is.
Vaping and driving.
Drunk vaping.
Yeah, yeah.
Drunk driving, vaping.
Got like a 5-6 beer buzz, just ripping down Briley Parkway with a vape.
Wait, did you
say nothing better?
Did y'all smoke cigarettes before vaping?
Oh yeah,
and cigarettes were the best, right?
Nothing better,
man.
Nothing better. Our not to get too inside baseball or whatever, but me and Anna were just buddies, just comedy friends for years and years, 6 years, mm-hmm. and shared many a cigarette with each other. The beginning of our friendship was based on Camel Crushes.
And now you're having a cigarette, baby.
Yeah, Camel Crushes to real crushes. Real crushes. Yeah, exactly.
Camel Crushes are the best.
It was what I ended on.
Immediately.
No, yeah. Camel Crushers are the people pleasers of cigarettes, and no. I don't like that. Camel
interesting take, just because you want to have one for everyone?
Yeah. They did taste better. Yeah. I would try to like cigarettes that right there no in the middle one of liked.
Just to keep you occupied.
And it would half crush.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Dude, like a half menthol Camel Crush? How good was that?
Dude, yeah. I only like mint vapes, but I hated menthol cigarettes.
Ooh, give me a menthol cigarette.
No, and I hated Camel Crushes because I accidentally crushed it every time I grabbed one from someone. I was like, bang!
Just Lenny that yeah. shit. The first cigarette I ever smoked.
Bingies.
Marlboro menthol. Stole it out of my mom's
Wait,
purse.
Is that a Cowboy Killer?
No, that's a Marlboro Red.
Red.
Yeah, I started.
Oh, menthol. Yeah.
Black and mild.
Oh, God, I loved a B&M, dude.
I freaked that black and mild.
The wine wood tip.
Yeah.
For a sophisticated gentleman.
Then I went to clove cigarettes, which is
I did
buddy,
clove.
Buddy. A stint
of the world's longest
Wait,
cigarette.
Do y'all remember dude, Fantasia cigarettes, the colorful no. ones?
Oh, yeah, I do. That was...
It's like the zebra stripe gum of cigarettes.
Dead ass. I remember that, speaking about like marketing and everything, going, you know, just trying to get their claws into young people and everything. When I was in high school, Camel made pink cigarettes. Do you remember the pink cigarettes?
God, no.
Dude, the pink cigarettes that they came in these, like, they were cigs for girls. It was if you're a girl, smoke these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
That's what it was packaged as. It was like pink and black.
Yes. I was like, oh, wow. Cigarettes themselves weren't pink. They had like the pink band.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. They were called pink camels or something
God,
like that.
God, I wish they still did that.
We could start smoking cigs whenever we want to.
it's just one of those things that like.
I never think about it like that.
There's a few days, every so often, like every couple of days, I'm like, man, I could really go for a cigarette right now.
I probably have like 3 a year.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. Probably have like 3 cigs a year.
I don't like how they smell anymore.
Yeah, it's the best thing ever. Like when you quit them and then they just repulse you.
Well, I think if I didn't have hair, I'd smoke them more, honestly, because they get stuck in your hair.
Come on, Maddie. It's up to me and you.
Yeah, shave your head.
We can smoke cigarettes consequence free.
Cigarettes and chocolate milk. Mom used to smoke
clove de jarms with a glove on.
Yep.
Oh, that's
so her hair wouldn't smell like cigarettes.
I lived with my Aunt Sally for a little bit, her and her family, when I moved up to Cincinnati. She had a bunch of little kids. And she would go out at night and smoke a cigarette with a toboggan on and a raincoat on and two rubber gloves that you like clean the toilet with.
Yep.
And smoke them. And she'd put a fan up and she'd smoke the cigarette and hold the cigarette in the fan and blow it away. And I mean, just seeing like a 50-year-old woman
That's
keep a cigarette
kind of
a secret was beautiful. Oh, it's awesome.
It's like a beginning to a movie.
Like truly your own little secret.
Just looking like the lady from Home Alone.
Will you give me that WD-40 again?
She got grease
up.
Sorry, I'm getting a little rusty. I'm starting to squeak.
Now the Tin Man.
Getting a little rusty.
Got a luber on up now, Collie. Oh,
so. And then squeaking sound.
What you got, Maddie?
Another quick question. What did you do before comedy?
Oh, yes. Like, what was your job?
A lot. I was a teacher. I have a degree in education.
That's insane.
Yeah.
What?
Secondary education, social studies. Yeah. So nice. I taught history, and then I taught half a year of English. Because I was at a school system in Cincinnati that was really bad off. Great school, a lot of good people there, but like, you know, starting 20 miles behind the starting line. Mm. So yeah, it was just kind of all hands on deck. But I was a teacher. Before that, I like took some horrible inside sales job. You know, I was salesman, teacher. I did construction. I drove Uber full time. Kind of like everybody's story these days. Yeah. I did like 8 things that I hated.
Yeah.
And then I found out
to make about barely this. Enough to live.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, you become accustomed to making barely enough, so you can make that leap.
That's like the beauty of it, man. You be poor for long enough, any money makes you feel rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it was wild like that. But yeah, I was a teacher and it was awesome. And in a different universe, in like a different reality, I still am a teacher. And a really good one, you know?
I can see it. You'd be the coolest fucking teacher.
It was fun. I was really, really young.
I was going to say social studies because that was like the fun class.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had to like fight to not fall into that because it's like there's no bigger red flag in the world than the male teacher who's like, I want to be the cool teacher.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's a huge red flag.
Yeah, you can't be too cool. You end up getting arrested.
You can't be all their friends. I was, dude, it was my first day. Exactly. For real. Too cool ends you up in bars, man. Gets you on a list. The first day that I ever taught, I'd been teaching. It was my first class. It was 8:00 in the morning. I was so nervous. I could barely even, like, my hand was shaking. And I'm talking to the class, try to be cool, give them the little elevator speech of who I am, where I'm from. And I'm just like, so this first day, man, no rubric, no nothing. Let's just get to know each other. Does anybody have any questions for me? And they're just from the back of the room. Some girl just like, you single? And it's like, God, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, and the seniors walking around the hallway.
What did you say? Were you like, that's none of your business?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, 100%. Okay. Yeah. I just go. Don't worry about that. It's like, why?
That's none of your business.
You curious? Yeah. No. I was like, that's none of your business, you know.
That's none of your business when you graduate.
The first 6 months I was a teacher, I wanted to be kind and sweet, but no, I mean, you just have to sit there with your fucking arms crossed or your hands in your pockets and don't make any eye contact because you can't see the wrong idea.
Mm-hmm. I remember we had one of our fellow classmates, she... And this gym coach, history teacher, whatever, used to like flirt a lot. And we're like, I swear there's something going on. And like a week after she graduated our high school, they like got engaged.
No.
And I was like, oh, y'all were plotting and already doing that behind the scenes.
It's like retroactively illegal.
That's yeah.
You know?
It's like you were doing a crime, man.
That was a crime.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to teach at Franklin High School. No,
that's why I got into comedy.
Wait. So you were a social studies teacher, amongst other things.
Yeah, yeah.
And how you opened for Theo Von?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? How'd that happen, man?
Okay, follow our next question. What got you into comedy? How'd you depart?
How'd I depart? The teaching and the stand up kind of overlapped for a second for like 8 months. I don't know. It was just like anybody who got their first job. Y'all remember your first gigs where you go, is this it? Like, can this possibly be it, Matt, when you were a social worker?
Oh my God.
You were just like, wait. 40 more years and then I get to retire and still be poor and like
you still have student loan debt.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just like anybody. I was just wigged out. I liked teaching, but then I also felt super claustrophobic. And you look around at the people in your hallway that have been teaching for 25 years and they've lost the spark that made it good. And I don't know. I just always loved stand up and my dad really liked it. He watched it a ton and Comedy Central was always on. I'm like 34, so when I was like 12, That's when they were just shoving the half hour Comedy Centrals, like the premium blends and everything. So it's like I watched Daniel Tosh's half hour probably 10 times, and Kevin James and Dimitri Martin and Dane Cook. Dane Cook. I saw Dane Cook in an arena my freshman year of college. Which
I'm
was
jealous.
2009.
Holy.
Dude, like, I he was an arena act
where you
a
guys
long
were,
time
where
ago.
I saw him.
You saw Dane Cook in Bridgestone?
Yeah, but it was SoMe Center. It wasn't even Bridgestone.
That's crazy. To be an arena act almost 20 years ago is so crazy to think about.
Yeah, and it's funny because I got like a memory from, because it was like right when Facebook had came out too. And I got a memory that was like a video that I had taken and posted on Facebook of Dane Cook. And like back then I didn't realize it, but now I'm like, oh, he was doing In the Round back then.
Bro.
So he's just full.
He sold 15,000 tickets at Northern Kentucky University in 2009.
He was so hot.
Oh, dude, he was as hot as it gets.
Got to give the respect where it's due. That dude changed the game.
Oh, he got me into comedy.
Yeah.
He got the whole world into comedy. Yeah. He got this whole country into comedy.
That's so fucking true.
Oh, no. I mean, you can make whatever judgments you want on Dane Cook, but you can't take away from it that he was like the biggest comedian ever.
He was incredibly entertaining.
He was first arena act since Andrew Dice Clay.
Dude knew how to tell a story.
Don't we know him now?
Kind Did you meet him in Austin?
Yeah.
That's sick.
New Year's.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was funny.
He told me all his wheelchair jokes. Am I thinking of the right person?
The guy that got that didn't get into Tony's. Remember they recognized you and then didn't recognize him?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of someone else. Yeah, that was so, like, where he got rid of.
After.
They were like, oh, Fiona.
Yeah.
And he's like I've been, I did arenas in 1981. That's crazy.
Who the fuck is she?
That's great. That's so sick.
Yeah. And she's just rolling right by. And he's like, what is this? I mean, he was a nice guy. I didn't speak to him.
I'm thinking of the other old guy that I love.
Oh, Ron White?
No.
Ron White story is wild.
He's great.
Yeah.
She met Ron White in a green room and was talking to him, and she just goes, oh, so what's your name?
Yeah, he was like, great set, darling. What's your name?
He goes, I'm Ron.
I said, okay, Ron.
Okay, Ron.
And everyone in the green room was like,
okay, Ron.
Yeah.
He was very nice.
That's so sick.
Yeah. Very nice. You're talking about Brian Holtzman.
I love him.
Yeah.
He told me every Wilson joke he had.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, Brian. And he was like, she can take it.
Holtzman's the man.
Yeah.
He is. But I don't know. I was just in the middle of teaching. Podcasts were huge.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was
what year is this?
2015. All year 2015. I was listening to Bill Burr and Pete Holmes and Joe Rogan and like
Monday morning.
And it was Monday morning podcast is fucking brutal. And Pete Holmes was huge for me. It was just comics. Yeah, dude, the You Made It Weird podcast was so big for me. And it's like you say that in the year 2025, what got you started? And you're like, Pete Holmes and Joe Rogan. And people are like, what the fuck?
They really did.
No,
like,
that doesn't, that can't work. And it's like, no. It did 10 years ago.
You listen to them talk about just like the process of like doing comedy. You're like, God, that sounds fun.
I remember Bill Burr. Bill Burr went on Joe Rogan and they were talking because they like came up together in Boston. I thought that was really cool. They've known each other for so long. But then Bill Burr, and this was like, again, 2016, 10 years ago. It wasn't Bill Burr, 3 Netflix specials and a TV show. And, you know, he was a guy who was like, barely transitioning into theaters and podcasts weren't even a thing.
Was this before the Philly rant?
Yo, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Too?
It just popped him off, and that was like when the internet just kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, took. Wait.
And he's like, this is going to ruin my career.
Your first time on stage.
First time on stage was that. I heard Burr say on Rogan, he goes, it's the best fucking job I've ever had. And I go, I bet that's cool. He goes, I work fucking 2 hours a night.
Yeah.
All I got to do is fuck off for 22 hours a day.
Pretty good, bro.
You know? And I'm like, that sounds sick. And it was like something corny out of a movie. I was teaching up in Cincinnati. I'd go down and visit my parents all the time. I was like typing out these 10-page Word document, word yeah. for word. Joke. When I do stand up, I'm going to say this syllable for syllable.
Yeah.
And I walked into my... And you also don't know that there's open mics and shit.
Yeah.
It feels
yeah.
like the most unattainable thing. Mm-hmm. You don't know
it's
that
you can... the most attainable thing.
Yeah, you don't know yeah. that you can just like go bomb at a pizza restaurant on a Monday night in pretty much every city in America. Yeah.
That's a really good thing.
You know?
And if there isn't one, you can just start it.
You can just start, but you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know to search Cincinnati stand-up comedy or whatever. And... So I drove home to visit my parents, and it was like some bullshit scene out of a movie. I had just typed up my first 10 minutes, right? Because you don't know that. I'm like, well, open mic, open to how long you do. So I typed out 10 minutes and didn't know where to do it. And I drove home to visit my parents, and I walked in, big stack of Suburb junk mail, and on top of it, Comedy Central, or a Comedy Off Broadway. The comedy club in town.
Wait, that's wow. so cool.
They just got a piece of junk mail, Comedy Off Broadway. I go, huh. And I opened it up, and it was like, you know, like in the Batman comics, pow, in like the yeah. little jagged. It had this little jagged pow, and it said, open mic comedy, $5, Tuesday. And I signed up.
Okay, that
that's
gave
pretty
me
sick.
Chills.
Yeah, signed
that's
up.
Really
signed
cool.
up, and Lexington's like a little small town, so... Yeah, I put it out there on Facebook and spread the word a little bit, and I was super lucky, and like 30 people, ranging from like buddies to teachers, came out nice. And saw me. I was supposed to do 3, I did 6. I got played
oh,
off stage.
Man, he ran the light
by double.
Nice,
yeah.
dude.
Well, I showed up. Like I said, I showed up, and I walk up. I see a bunch of fucking 40-year-old men in backpacks. So I was like, those got to be the comics. So I walked up to these. I walked up to them and I was like, how long do you guys normally do? And they were like, you have to do 3 minutes. And I had like, you know, read my monologue into the mirror, recorded yeah. it. And then from Cincinnati to Lexington, listened to my recording like 12 times.
Yeah.
And then I've
oh
gotten there and
God.
Just been like, I've got this memorized. And then I show up and it's like, it was 10 minutes and they go, it has to be 3. So then in like a half hour, without even knowing what I was doing, I did stand up and like pared all the bullshit down to like
yeah.
as tight as it could be.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And they played me off of the stage with music.
But you were fucking hooked.
Oh, I was hooked, man. And then the club was like, let's fucking go. This kid just brought 30 people to an open mic.
Yep.
So then I did all their contests and all their open mics and would drive down to do open mics. And then they started hosting me. And yeah, man. I mean, here we are now. Got a job at Go Bananas up in Cincinnati and just immersed myself in it as much as I could.
Oh, my God. That's...
Yeah.
And now you just did Bridgestone with Theo.
And now I just did Bridgestone and got to bring up Fiona at Bridgestone, man.
That was yeah. very cool.
What a
yeah,
moment
y'all
we
talk
had.
About
this
that
motherfucker
for a
brought me on stage as the pride of Franklin High School.
Who else from Franklin's done Bridgestone?
They went wild.
Yeah, yeah, they went fucking crazy. That second that show was nuts. So funny. The pride of Franklin High School. I love just screaming a name, man. That was really, really fun, man. That was
Dude.
Fun. That one felt different.
That, yeah, the second show was my favorite. That was sick. Watching you and Amir like skipping back and forth
oh, yeah.
and doing cartwheels on stage.
yeah.
A couple
yeah.
push-ups if you had time, yeah.
Well, to that point, the I appreciate you saying that, but what seems even crazier is to be in your position and to just roll out there and just sit in the pocket. It's like we were laughing about it because
yeah.
you guys watched my set. I go up there cold. Everyone thinks it's Theo. I'm literally like running from side to side and like doing everything,
arena.
But just like, look at me. Get
arena cold is crazy.
Truly nuts. But
you crushed.
But well, I thank you. It's a whole different skill set. It barely feels like stand up.
Yeah.
Hosting one of those arena shows.
I cannot fathom.
Yeah, no, it's sick. I love it. It's like one of the great privileges of my life. But when you get to go out there and it's just such a different ball game. All you've got, you're just, here's what I got to say. You better fucking be on board. And they were all on board, dude. All on board. Set up 12,000 people quiet at the same time.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Punchline. It's like it was very cool to watch. And we were just right there.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt and I were like 20 feet away from you, just being like, this is nuts.
It's funny because, like, even though the arena was so like grandiose and huge, when I did the riffing at the top, I heard y'all laughing.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
We were cracking up.
That's what's so weird about it is that it's like, yeah. And we were talking about it a little bit after the fact that we did the show. And you don't want to like come across as unappreciative or better than or anything. But like how casual we were was really, really something. That was kind of crazy. I mean, we weren't in the back going over our shit. We were fucking off.
Right. Yeah,
it was a fun hang.
We were like having a drink, chilling, just up at time. Okay, let's go.
the second show, for sure. The first show was a little
nerves. There were definitely some nerves. That was the most nerves I've had for one of those big shows, just because it was like a home game. And ladies here. My friends are here. If I bomb in Montana...
Dude, something that made me laugh, and I hope you don't mind me. Well, it's embarrassing for me, not you. But, like, Theo, like, brings the openers out on stage at the very end. The second show, I was in manual just so Luke could, like, push me around so it wasn't confusing or whatever.
Yeah.
And... right before Theo, like, called us out on stage, I turned to Lee and I was like, do I have a booger in my nose? And he just looks and
we didn't have the time. Yeah. What am I going to be like?
It was so dead note. Like, no word. He was like, yep.
I was in the middle of it. I was like, I hope this isn't a vast overreach here.
Nah, that's just a girl dad right there.
No, that shit worked, though.
That's awesome.
It made me laugh so fucking. I was like, this is why I do this shit with friends.
Yeah, that Bridgestone show. Different than anything I've ever gotten to do.
Yeah, that was amazing. I'm obsessed. I love Bridgestone.
Well, you've had those moments where you go out in these big, huge... I mean, you did Bridgestone twice already. You did HEB down in Austin a couple times. You've had that experience, but it's way different than 1 minute of material plus an interview.
When you
go out there and you're like, nope, I'm not hosting, I'm not doing nothing. Here's 10 minutes of material.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different beast. Like, yeah, those two sets that you did for Theo on Saturday were longer than probably all of your Kill Tony stage time combined.
Yeah, I mean, it was,
You were up there.
It's so true. Doing like a full 10 minute set was very different, more stressful, because I think with Kill Tony, you want them to laugh at the minute you do.
So
but
it's like
the interview,
frantic.
It's like they'll laugh at certain parts, but the point is not to like have them laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
You want to be interesting.
For sure.
You know?
Have them captivated.
Mm.
And that's why when you did the Theo spot, that's why. Oddly enough, you were comfortable. You probably didn't feel it, but like you were, you know, you went out there and the voice never quivered and nothing. You just fucking got it. You just did that shit.
That was fun.
It was sick to watch.
Very honored. It was so random for me to be there with you.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of it is that's what we were talking about after the show is that it... Again, not to get too ahead of ourselves here, but it wasn't random. It was kind of precisely where we should have been. Yeah. It's not a coincidence if you do Bridgestone four times in a month.
You know, you're not just like lucky to be there.
Like
you did it four times in a month. Yeah,
the Ryman you and should Bridgestone be there. Four and the times Ryman, in a month.
Yeah.
Is insane.
The Ryman 2. Yeah. That's crazy. I didn't even consider that. I mean, this shit is not on accident.
Oops.
And yeah. Maybe,
whoops, my bad.
I'm just a girl.
Yeah.
Maybe Smokes and Jokes next week if you're lucky.
Dude, how about Smokes and Jokes July 9th,
Let's
dog?
Go, dude. Let's
I'm
get
closing it.
It
out. Come Hell on yeah. down to the borough,
you
dude.
That's a fun one. Do that,
nah, man. It's kind of a sacred spot, man.
It is.
Close
nice.
Out Smokes and Jokes. Go down there, do 20.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Get a fucking burger.
Get a honey
right?
bunny and a stick.
Yeah, dude. Get a cigar and some beer.
It ain't bad at all. I tell you what was funny is when we were, you know, we do our sets in Bridgestone and then Theo's on stage and he does 75, 80 minutes. There's mm-hmm. plenty of time to kill. We have shows that we needed to plug, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time this comes out, we will have already, this is the show at a sold out Zanies. This is it.
Yes, sir.
That's going to be sick. So we were walking around trying to get those tickets sold and, seeing people interface with you is a whole different beast. Seeing people interface
little
with you,
scary.
Yeah, it's that's a different beast.
Yeah, that was cool. That was very cool.
Dude, you were there when that guy got weird as shit.
Oh, tell that story. That is right. Fucking crazy.
So yeah, so here.
Okay. Damn, dude. That should be on the Patreon.
Yeah, really. That's behind a paywall.
That's
right
the fucking
there.
Steamy content.
Put a black box over there.
Yeah. Not tossing a zin in your wife's mouth.
Yeah, I'm chilling there.
Down. Hush, baby. Hush, puppy.
So, yeah, so we're doing I'm, you know, helping her take pictures or whatever. And there's this giant guy. Like, I'm probably like 6'5", like 250 at least, big dude. Super nice, being real chill, just like being real complimentary and nice, just off to the side. And then there's this like little drunk, like 22-year-old, real young kid, baby face, just like waiting on his turn for a picture. And this guy's like talking to me, the big dude. And then as soon as the kid goes to like take a picture with you, he's like leaning in. And I think his buddy's like taking the picture of him. And the guy beside me is like, yo, what if I just knocked that dude's teeth in? And I'm like, what's up? And he goes, what did he say? He's like, what if I just knocked his teeth all over the floor right now? Wouldn't that be funny?
And
I'm like, nah, I don't think that would be that funny.
I'm like actively taking this photo with this baby child. And I hear this guy say that after we've interacted right before this. And I go, I'm scared. And he goes, oh, darling, don't be scared.
Don't be scared. I was just kind of like fantasizing about killing this guy with my hands.
And he goes, can I get a picture? And I was like,
I can't say no.
Yes, you can.
Absolutely. Dude.
Yeah, please.
And it's funny because you see the kid taking the picture, like smiling and hearing it and just being like, what's going on? Like, is he talking about me?
Oh my god, dude!
I can't stop that guy if he wants to.
I mean, it was so people that's like the worst instance that happened. I would say overall, it was like 90% good interactions, right?
Yeah.
I mean, some people get a little annoying, but that's just kind of the nature of the beast. But that was fun. Yeah.
No, I
mean,
people rolling
up. What I really loved is all the locals rolling up, doing the math and being like, oh, well, I graduated from Montgomery Bell and blah, blah, blah. I graduated from Franklin 2 years after you, and I think we've been at this party together.
Right.
Or
no,
whatever.
That, and I was like, don't ever talk about that party.
Yeah.
The funniest was we were in the green room backstage after the show, and those very handsome men came in. And then one guy was like, I taught at Franklin in 2015 or whatever. I was like, what? Do you remember me? He was like, I think so. You look kind of familiar. And I was like, that's crazy. What'd you teach? What'd you teach? And he's not joking. He's like special ed.
No, I didn't see that. That's crazy.
I laughed so fucking hard. Do you remember that, Anna? Okay.
He said you were my best students.
Yeah. He was like, you were a little bit advanced, so that's...
You were in special ed AP, right?
Yeah, she thought she was in AP.
Oh man, I don't know. It's like
she was in a portable.
Yeah, you're an A problem. But like when you go and you see Bridgestone, I've seen the Preds play there.
Yeah,
seen a couple concerts there. Then you're the ones that are down there, like in the catacombs of it all, and you see it all work out. The I was entering and exiting. The 5th and Demumbrian exit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
So you're walking out, and, like, there are these doors, but you walk through this big room, and it's, like, giant. It's like a chamber in one of the pyramids. It's, like, huge. And these big vaulted curved ceilings. It's unnecessarily big. And this guy, one of the security guards, is walking me to the door to get her. And there's, like, a little wall of storage over there. I'm like, why is this room so big? Where are we? And that room in the back of Bridgestone, the concerts that go there, they set up their full stage in that room with like this, the lights and the pyrotechnics and everything. And they just rehearse there for like 2 weeks before the show.
Oh my God.
That back room, that back storage room at Bridgestone has seen every concert that's ever played at Bridgestone. Like Taylor Swift... The guy was telling me Taylor Swift was in that room for a month
just
doing her concert over and over and over. It's like the rehearsal space for arena acts of the world.
Can you imagine
like
doing
it's crazy.
Stand-up practice in there?
Oh,
I hate this,
dude. That's hilarious.
I think I'll just wing it out there.
That is the most layered inside baseball sketch that if you had all of the knowledge, it would be hilarious. Me walking out there in an empty room, just being like, how we doing
now?
Just getting the beats of it.
Yeah. My man. There's nobody there.
What do you do for work?
Yeah. How'd y'all meet?
Yeah,
no one. The two invisible people. Y'all meet on the apps type shit.
Dude, one time I tried to do crowd work at my own fucking show, and I couldn't think of a question. I go, do you have a mom?
That's so crazy in front of a live audience. Yeah. So is your mom with us? Is your mom alive?
Do you know her?
How were you born?
I have a mom.
I was doing a bunch of bald material the other day. And a guy goes, I used to be bald. So then just like in the half split second reaction, I'm just like, what are you talking about? You used to be bald, man. You got hair now, blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, I had cancer. I'm like, fuck you.
I know we're talking what am I supposed to turkey do? New hair. I didn't go there in my head.
Yeah, yeah, it's what I thought, too. I used to have hair. I was like, that's what I said to him. I go, oh, you fly to Turkey? Good for you.
He goes, no, St. John's.
No, yeah, St. Jude's, actually. Yeah, it's brutal, man. I don't know. Sometimes that's what happens when you dip into the crowd.
Dude, one time I said, is anyone in the crowd disabled? Which I love asking that question. But one time this girl goes, I am. And I was like, you better. Every time someone pipes up, it's something like, I have diabetes.
I have anxiety.
Yes, I have depression. I'm like, it's not real.
Yeah.
Somebody said anxiety all the time. You're going to have a real disability.
Yeah. I mean, fuck you.
But now this girl goes, it was in Indianapolis. This girl goes, I am. And I was like, it better be fucking real, you bitch. Like, I go on the defense immediately. And then all of a sudden I realize she's in a wheelchair.
What about the guy that had the suspicious laugh in Bricktown?
Was that in Tulsa?
Oklahoma City. That was a really scary moment.
I mean, just like a...
And it was like the whole time. So about 10 minutes into my set, I was like, what the fuck is that? And then everyone's like, I was like, is it you? And this guy was like, no, 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 no. And I was like, who is it? Am I going to get canceled for acknowledging this? Are you okay? Are you normal? Yeah. And the guy was just doing the laugh.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what to do.
But you can't see him, so you're like, I don't want to go too hard on this person.
But I went kind
of
hard.
And then come out of the shadows and be like,
And I was like, if he's actually disabled, I'm canceled. If he's not, I'm a hero.
Yeah. If he's not, I'm going to need that clip.
Yeah.
He wasn't Cut it. Disabled.
Cut it, Brady.
He came up to me at the end. He goes, I have really bad anxiety. That's why I didn't respond.
One of the greatest sketches of all time is an old Key and Peele sketch. You know what I'm talking about?
The burn.
Yeah, the burn victim.
Come on, I can take it.
I can take it. And then he goes in on him. He goes, I can take it. It hurts. Yeah, dude. We got anything else from the IG Live, Maddie?
Do you want to do IG Live or do you want to do thought-provoking question?
Oh, it's up to you guys.
Deep or finay?
Let's do deep and finay, though.
All right.
Deep and finay.
Do you think dying feels scary or relieving?
It depends on the relationship that you've had with death throughout your life. I got an uncle that's dying right now. Not really a man of faith. He's kind of lived in the moment his entire life, and now he's at the very end of it, and he's really scared. But I've known people who have died who couldn't be less scared, couldn't be more certain what's going to happen to them when they're done. Mm-hmm. I think that's where faith is like probably the most important thing that you can have, because everyone dies. And it's kind of up to you whether it's scary or not, you know, because it is scary. It's like the scariest thing ever. Mortality is so scary. Say the question one more time. I was going around.
Do you think dying feels scary or relieving?
To me, I don't know. I mean, it depends on when you die, you know.
Yeah.
If I got some diagnosis and said you're cooked in 3 years,
you can see the clock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's when it gets really, really scary. You know, that's. But then also, you can spin it, because if you can see the clock, then you know what you got to work with.
We all have a clock. We just don't know what number.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know what it. Everyone's clock is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. That is the only sure thing in life: death and taxes, man. I think
second one.
Yeah.
Remember that second one next year for sure.
Lady, if you don't pay your taxes, they're going to throw your ass in jail. You owe Uncle Sam some money. Yeah, you do. I'm going to say relieving. But the caveat is how you've lived your life, you know, and there's a million variables.
So you've lived your life in a way that. You're happy.
Well, that's the irony. That's where my answer isn't correct. Because if I got hit with a diagnosis and I'm gone in 2 years, then I would be terrified and sad because we got this little baby on the way. You know? But in 35, 40 years, when I'm 75 years old and we got a bunch of them running around and... I'll be relieved.
After we're getting done having our 15th child.
Yeah, it's based on how you live. It's based on how you live, man. You're really, really scared if you've got some unfinished business.
Yeah.
My Uncle Frank has some unfinished business. He's really scared.
Mm.
He's really scared, you know, and it's hard to see because you can't just be like, hey, man, don't be scared. You're going to die. And he's like, I don't want to. And I'm like, you know, no, it is. It is funny. It has to be.
Yeah.
Things that heavy.
Yeah.
You know? I think the answer is just live your life so that when you do die,
you left nothing on the table.
It's all on the court.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. When I got diagnosed at 18 and they told me my life expectancy was 40, and at that point I was terrified. You know what I mean? Just because I was like, I can see the
clock. I'm halfway through.
Right.
I haven't done anything yet.
I just graduated high school.
Yeah, it's fucked.
But I was like terrified. So I was like, just kind of like, fuck it. My life doesn't matter was my takeaway at that point. Like, I can.
Sure. Like, let's get fucked up.
It doesn't matter to me. Yeah. It doesn't matter to anyone else. There's no longevity to this. But honestly, finding comedy. And finding, like, I don't know, it's cool to, like, I do feel like my comedy has a purpose to certain groups of people, and that means a lot to me.
Straight up.
And now, I'm, like, scared to die because I don't think I'm done.
Yeah. No, I hear that. I know exactly what you mean.
You said.
I want to do so much stuff.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I'm scared, is because it's, like, I think that you're scared to die if you really, really love being alive.
Yeah.
And God dang it, do I love being alive.
And that is a really cool place to be in because it's not common.
Yeah, amen. A lot of people, it's really, really hard.
Hard to live.
And I'm not. I couldn't feel less of that. And I feel so blessed and so lucky to be able to say that truthfully.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, have you ever been depressed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So like being at the perspective of knowing both.
Oh, yeah, down on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
Fully down on your knees, just being like, anything.
Yeah.
Anything would be good.
Like, I can't keep doing this.
I kind of feel bad for people who have never been there.
Yeah.
You know? There are some people where everything, all the planets aligned, it's very cushy, it's very nice, good mom and dad, you're not spoiled, you're not this, you're like, I know people like that, they're Mormons, but like, there's, not to be all corny or whatever, but you really can't know how good it is until it's been bad.
Yeah.
Think about your lowest low.
Yeah.
Compared to Saturday night.
Yeah.
No one gets that peak and valley in their life but us.
That's, you know, like the funniest part about the internet to me, because something, people feel so fucking bad for me. I'm like, my life is better than anyone.
Anyone you've ever met. That is my favorite thing.
My life is so good. I just can't walk.
Dude, that is something. We were laughing at it. Speaking of like walking around at Bridgestone and talking to the people. And it's like, people do feel bad. They think they feel bad for you. They think they should feel bad
like,
for you.
Like, you just watched me. You
I
paid.
Just performed at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad. That's my favorite one, is the guy. And again, I'm not even truly roasting this guy, because he's probably, we're talking about sad lives. He probably has one, you know? But the guy who thinks he's doing the cool guy thing, to walk up to you and be like, you know, you're actually really beautiful and like good at stand up.
Like, wait, what?
I know.
Oh my God. Like, nobody ever told me that. How did I get here?
It's crazy. Hey, just so you know, no matter what the rest of the world says,
you're actually funny.
You're actually and
you're
funny
beautiful.
And beautiful. Okay.
Very,
and then
very,
he walks
very,
away and he's like, man, I really, really boosted her up.
She fucking needed that.
Yeah.
But his intentions were, that's what I think, that's what maturing is it's like, you can read it on a guy if that guy is who says that is really a dickhead and it's like, doing some weird little backhanded compliment thing. But most of the people are kind of just like giving their best shot.
Yeah, I mean.
They think that there's what they're saying is sweet and kind.
I think
they
that's
don't have
like
the
goofiest part about disability that I think able-bodied people don't realize that we can clock immediately.
Of course.
It's like, I know if someone has never been around a disabled person.
Yeah.
Or like they don't know one, they've never had a conversation. It's so fucking obvious.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. I went to a dermatologist for the first time yesterday.
Oh, man.
And the lady that owned the place, the dermatologist, I guess, she was great. I loved her. But the little girl, she was in her 40s. The blonde girl that walked you into the room and then like asked general questions from the jump before the doctor comes in there, you know? It's fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Bro, first off, mini rooms. She put us in the smallest one. It was like a closet, and I'm in a wheelchair.
It's funny because she's like, sorry, this room is so small. And it's like, did you consider any of the other rooms?
The front desk lady was like, girl, the bigger one's open. She's in a wheelchair. And she was like, no, this one's fine.
This'll do.
And so, like, I have to, like, get my... It's like Austin Powers trying to get into the fucking room.
That's an excellent reference.
And I finally get in. I get in my chair to sit in, like, the chair they have in there. And as I'm, like, getting in the room, she's trying to tell me how to drive my wheelchair like it's day one for me. And then Matt's, like, helping me out of the chair, which means just holding my arm because I'm not paralyzed. And she's, like, trying to touch me. And I'm like, I'm good, thank you. And she's not listening. I'm sitting in the chair, and she goes, so I have some preliminary questions, asking general's off. And she was like, ugh, I'm sorry I have to ask this, but, like, it's on here, so... Do you have a job? She assumed the answer. She was like, there's no fucking way. And I was like, I'm a comedian. And she thought I was lying.
She goes, that's a good one.
Right, right. Yeah.
Just me and Theo, but it's like the white photo.
Hey, put that on
put
there.
Put that on there. I'll send that to you, Brady.
Oh,
that dude.
God.
That is the
this
funniest
picture right
I've
here,
seen.
Man. This picture right here. God, that is funny.
And then she goes, oh, and here's, you don't drink alcohol, right? And I was like.
You're like, well, I'll have you know, I have a borderline
problem. Yeah. I'm like, actually, yeah, if you Google right me.
I'll have you know, it's kind of an issue in my life.
That's how not disabled I am. No.
Other problems.
Damn, that's fucking wild.
Like,
to witness.
She walks out of the room and Matt goes, I swear to God, she was about to dangle her geese.
You want a sucker? You want a sucker? You were so good, you weren't even scared of the needles.
God, I was like, I don't know. People are.
Have you ever, like, that, there's the way that she missed, have you ever intentionally used it? Have you ever, like, taken advantage of the wheelchair?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, played
I've
it up?
I've been caught stealing and pretend you're retarded.
I'm sorry. I really wanted it. That's crazy.
I thought that Toshiba was mine.
Oh, no. I just wanted the TV to watch Hello Kitty.
Oh, my God. Honestly, I bet people would wheelchairs 75 steal TV? More than I'll just put it on my back and lean back.
How'd that get there?
Damn. Getting out of a shoplifting cart on the retardation plea, dude. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, the sippy cup is half full.
The sippy cup is half full.
Oh, my cup wanteth over. That fucking that rocks, babe. That is so sick. Do that more. Oh my God. Holy fucking milk.
I can't get away with it anymore. They're like, you know, we know who you are.
Yeah.
You're an active rising celebrity right now. You didn't just steal this. Oh, man. Just fleecing Forever 21. That rocks.
Oh, man. All right, that might be a high point to wrap up the Reggae Pod.
Yeah, it's a bit of a ripper.
So, Patreon.
Yeah, we're about to head over to the Patreon.
Oh, that's flip up. You heard that?
That was loud. Yeah.
I gotta do something. I gotta go to the doctor. Between the Patreon, can I pee?
Yeah.
But before we get started, sorry.
Yeah. She also has to pee. Okay. The baby's on her bladder. It's the whole thing.
That's crazy. I mean, it's actually perfectly
normal. Sorry, that's what happens.
Yo, that's weird as hell.
Tell her to get off.
Tell that baby to cut it out.
Cut it out, baby.
All right, so before we go on the reg, go at you anything you want to plug yourself?
Oh, me? This will come out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it should be out in 3-4 weeks.
Come to my show at The Lab here in Nashville.
Yes, sir.
It is on June 11th. It's very fun. It's called Tales from the South. The whole bit, it's a pretty regular comedy show, but every comedian is from the South, and they talk about what it was like growing up in the South, pros and cons of that. It's very fun. It's like a blue-collar comedy tour meets 85 South. It's just, it ain't Larry the Cable. It's everybody who grew up in the South talking about that. It's really fun. The lineup's crazy. Tickets are only like $12. So please come to that. Yeah. They would be on the show, but they're going to be on the road. So
that's true.
Yeah. You're not going to see Fiona or Matt, but you will see me in a really good lineup. That's June 11th at The Lab.
And you'll get to hear him do retard voice again.
I will. I'll do it.
It's the best.
Hello, Kitty.
I love it. That show is Jeff Foxworthy meets Chico B.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it, dude. It's
yes,
great.
Carlos Miller and Jeff Foxworthy.
And what's
Bill Engvall.
Where can they find you online?
At Lee Kimbrell Comedy on Instagram. And then, here's a big plug. You're watching and listening to a podcast, so pick up another one. The Absolute Lee Show. Absolute, like the vodka. Lee, like my name. The Absolute Lee Show. It's good.
Really good.
Yeah, we're into it, man. I really love doing it. It's a solo podcast. It's a half hour. I just keep the ball in the air for a half hour talking about it's crazy. Yeah. It's talking about the week, talking about stories from my past, talking about her a lot. It's fun. So please the Absolute Lee Show on Instagram, and then the Absolute Lee Show on Spotify and all that. So just follow that.
Hell yeah.
That's what I got. Hell yeah.
Hell yes, yeah. Sir. And if you're a real one, we're about to go over to the Patreon with Lee, and that shit's going to be fun.
Quit fucking around. Get the Patreon. Listen to all their extra stuff. It's good.
Patreon.com/rampinguppod. Crack a cold one and meet us over there.
Crack a cold one.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Matt Taylor Comedy.
Don't follow me.
Never follow her.
Okay, never follow her. She's got enough.
Yeah, she's about to crack what? 600K?
I'm gonna crash the internet.
Yeah, don't follow her. Follow me. Follow me and Matt.
Follow me.
Follow us. Unfollow her.
Follow me. I don't go fast.
Follow Brady.
Back to the road. If you are in Florida, I got dates coming up in May. If you're in Texas, I got dates coming up in May. I can't remember any of them. VinoColor.com at VinoColor on Instagram.
That's a wrap.
Bang.
Bang. We're raving up.
Bye. Shut up.